This is 105 Breakfast.
Black Eyed Peas, there you go, Sharon. Don't take on the five-year-olds. Look what happened at Strawberry Fair when I took on a five-year-old in a sumo suit fight. I lost, so don't do it. Cap 139, very good morning. He thinks this is honky-tonk women. He said, or maybe I just need my ears syringing.
I think you need your ears syringing.
You need your ears syringing. But right now it's time to welcome into the studio Mark Anstip from Cambridge Wine School. Mark, welcome back.
Hello.
Good to see you this morning.
I'm very pleased to be here, as always.
Did Gonville Place do its bit?
Well, actually, there was a more complicated reason, which I won't bore you with, of why we're late, but it was actually a detour we had to take. But there we are.
Right, okay.
Miscalculated.
And you brought your daughter Lara in as well?
Yeah, Lara's here.
Lara.
Yeah.
Hello. Talking wine. Always amazing how you can get a lot of people in the studio when there's talk of wine.
Now, I brought with me today the healthiest red wine in the world, in my opinion.
Perfect.
And because, people are always asking about, are you confused? I mean, the media sometimes run articles on, red wine is good for you. And then the next thing, next week will be
causes cancer.
Yeah,
lowers
really
house
bad
prices.
For you. Yeah. I mean, we're confused, right?
Lowers house prices.
So ultimately, the answer is actually a little bit of alcohol every day is really good for you. So if
when you
people,
say a little bit,
yeah, I know.
I do think we need to clarify that.
Not,
or maybe not.
Not if, as much as you and I drink.
If people don't drink anything and they've surveyed the teetotalers and they've looked at life expectancy and then they've looked at people that drink something frequently, and on average, if you drink something, some alcohol, and more than just once a week as well, with some degree of frequency and regularity, you will live a longer life.
Yeah.
And
perfect.
So we've got alcohol. It's really down to the alcohol. It stops the blood cells clocking together too much. And so you're insulated for a period of 24 hours after drinking some alcohol. You're insulated against blood clots and that way that leads to
Well, it's interesting
because
a friend of mine has been diagnosed with some sort of dementia and he's only in his early 50s. And that's exactly what they've said to him. Drink at least one glass of red wine every day.
And it has to be every day. People are really happy to hear this. It has to be every day because it wears off after 24 hours.
Okay, then.
It's such a struggle, isn't it?
But I must give the health warning, and that is that if you drink too much, like if you go over your regular unit allowance, the recommended amount, then you'll actually undo all the very great health benefits of it and you'll have more health problems and risks involved if you're overdoing it. So people say, let's have an alcohol-free day because they know they do overdo it. So they want to keep their weekly unit allowance to the right amount. That's wise. You can do that. But, too much overdoing it and then you're going to undo the health benefits. But these size glasses I've brought with me, they're smaller than the usual size glasses that we often have at home. But if you had one of those a day, you'd be fine.
Yeah.
So,
and what is that, 125? That's about 150, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. 150 mil, yeah. You've got to work out what
it's worrying that you can actually tell that just by looking. Oh, that's about 150 mil.
But then which red wine do you drink? That's the question. And I've got here with me an Argentinian Malbec.
Okay.
Now, this happens to be some of the best for you red wine in the world.
He's opening the bottle.
Yeah, I was going to say, why?
You hear that little click. That's a screw cap. So I did want to bring in a Catena Malbec because Catena's my favourite Argentinian producer, but I went into the shop this morning. That was actually part of the reason for the detour.
Oh, right.
And it wasn't there. So I've got this one instead, which is a Finca Flichmann Reserve Malbec from Waitrose, about $9.99. But actually, almost any Malbec from Argentina would do the trick.
So Malbec is the grape, is it?
It's the grape. And the thing about Argentina, we're talking the highest vineyards in the world.
Oh, right.
So we're not talking about just 500 metres above sea level.
No.
Typically, 1,500 metres above sea level, some of them going up to 3,000 metres above sea level. Really, really high up, changes the quality of the ultraviolet light up there. So the light the grapes get... Catena, my favourite producer, his daughter is a PhD, Laura Catena, in something to do with grapes. Oenology, I suppose, PhD in oenology. And she has researched what is actually happening to the skins of the grapes that they've planted up really high, because he's the man who actually encouraged Argentina to go even higher in the 1980s.
Oh, okay.
So he's Decanter Man of the Year 2009, because he's changed
man.
The face.
That's decanter. Brilliant, isn't that
Decanter
brilliant?
Man. Well, I mean, Decanter's the magazine, so Decanter does awards. and his decanter man of the year. Not decanter man like Superman or anyway, he did all that, and his daughter analysed the skins, and he's got more antioxidants in it than any other red wine because it's so high up.
And presumably, of course, it's getting it's only really getting rainwater, isn't it, as well? It's not getting river water and stuff because you're so high up. Yeah. It's where the rivers start.
That's a really... You're actually quite... You could do one of my wine qualifications and actually pass it, I think.
Oh, don't tell her that. I'm sorry, I'm studying wine again tonight.
So,
and maybe sometime.
I'm pouring it out and we're going to all try it together as a four.
Okay.
So first thing you notice about Malbec, if someone to pass you a red wine and say, oh, you've been on a wine tasting. If someone to come to one of my wine tastings, bet you your friends afterwards would say, oh, you've been on a wine tasting. What's this? And they give you a blind taste and they ask you to guess it.
I love the smell of this.
I know, it's nice.
Malbec is a deep colour. There's an immediate clue. It's pretty deep. And if you put your finger behind it, you often can't, you know... Well, you can with this one. It's a little bit lighter than some. But, you know, it's often deeper on the deeper black side. So then you swirl it in the glass and give it a little sniff.
All right, here we go. I've never had wine at 8:30 in the morning before.
Liar.
No! Only the taste from the night before.
People have champagne breakfast.
Yeah, that's true.
So all of this snobbery about can't drink wine before... You know, 12 o'clock is rubbish, really.
Lost half a day at that point.
So it's a bit smoky, isn't it? Mm.
I like that.
It's smoky, a bit meaty.
Meaty?
There's a slight animal-y type, meaty type thing. Mm. And on the smell, I'm not getting an awful lot of berry flavour. But you've already gone ahead and tasted. Is
it's
a lot
quite
of
sharp. Yeah, it's sharp. Quite sharp.
Have you tasted yours yet?
Yeah, I'm in.
He's still
I'm in.
Mark's still swirling.
Yeah.
It is a bit sharp.
Straight
it's
up
got
the middle
a
of the tongue.
Edge.
Straight up the middle of the tongue.
Which is a really interesting thing because that's what I want to talk about, actually, as well. Wine and food. Is this got a bit of sharpness and bitterness? Means it's going to go quite well with food because the food will tame that sharpness, tame that bitterness, and bring out the fruitiness of the wine. But we can talk about that in a little minute. But do you like it?
I do.
Oh, that was in unison, wasn't it?
That's it. We found another grape, dear.
I know.
Are you both New World babies? Do you like... No, because you like a lot of
we're
Italian.
We're not.
No,
we're not.
Yeah.
I would
Italian
say we're European,
French,
aren't we?
Yeah, I do struggle with the New World wine.
I think there's a difference, though, isn't there, between the South American wines and the Australian and the North American wines. And the South American ones do... I don't know, what is it about them? Is it because they do it the Italian way? Do they grow them in a similar way? Or
you can get some very, very jammy, sweet, fruited South American wines that you probably wouldn't like because you prefer something sharper like this. It's a product for Argentina, this particular wine, of it being grown in a high place. So every 100 metres you go up, you get 0.6 degrees centigrade cooler.
Right.
So that coolness helps retain some of that fresh acidity in the grape. The problem comes when you're growing your grapes in a really hot valley, and some of the places you can grow wine in, Chile, is a bit like that, and so is California. Then it gets so much sun, the grapes rush to add sugar in when it ripens. The sugar's pumped into the grapes really fast, and the acidity level goes down really fast. But by the time they manage to pick them, they've gone really sugary, sweet and flabby. And so when that sugar gets fermented into alcohol, there's not enough acidity to balance it, and you can have an out-of-balance syrupy wine.
This is the trick, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, Judy, but whenever Mark comes in, and last time it was summer whites and things like that, my brain instantly, as soon as it smells, it associates. And today, you'd normally, with the red wine, I would go steak, and, you know, steak, chips or roast beef. Beef Wellington for this. Suddenly there was I wanted I wanted pastry with this.
Yeah, pasta.
Yeah.
If you've got tomatoes.
Oh no, I feel under pressure now. I'm going to have to get my recipe book out.
You could easily pick out a Jamie's Italian recipe to go with this because it's got that sharpness which is typical of a lot of Italian wines.
Mm.
So it works quite well.
Is it expensive? As a general grape, is it one of the higher end ones?
Malbec you can get quite cheaply, and a lot of South American wines you can get quite cheaply compared to Italian wines. But you want to go to a good producer, so it's back to the whole same thing of buying wine. If you spend £10 on a bottle, you're going to get more stuff in your wine.
Right.
If you're going to spend £5 to £6 on a bottle, likelihood is you're going to be buying a wine that's been made fast and to big quantity, and therefore diluted a bit more. So,
I never understood why some wines are so expensive, and that you can all, you know, then you can go and buy a bottle for $3.99, and you think, hang on, you know, why is that? I don't really understand.
$3.99. That's pre two budgets, I think. There's about two years ago. Or
it's been a while.
I know what you mean. Yeah, because there's certainly plenty of $4.99 wines around, but they are typically quite dilute. You only got to put a $4.99 wine against a $9.99 wine.
So literally more water.
Well, it's not so much more water. It's actually less flavour in the grapes because they've been grown faster and to greater quantities. So there's all kind of rules in France about how many berries can you actually have on your vines, basically.
Yeah.
What's your production of litres per acre going to be? And the rules, as you get into higher quality wine in France, that you're producing less and less. You're supposed to, according to the rules. And they judge you on this. They measure it, and they will only award you the appellation you're wanting to produce under if you produce to that quantity. And the reason is, the smaller the quantity, the more concentrated the flavours in the grapes.
Right.
No, I'm going to bring in Lara. Lara, can you just pop onto a microphone? And because I just wanted to ask you, it's kind of like being the cobbler's daughter, I think. I mean, how are you on wine, Lara, or do you just get absolutely sick of it?
Well, I'm not brilliant, but Dad's been really good. He let me and a friend come to one of his wine tastings a few weeks ago, which was awesome to see him in action. He's very good at it. He knows what he's talking about, but I have no idea. I mean, I just play the game when I'm out with friends by the cheapest, highest percentage. See what you can do, but I don't know. I've learnt a lot more about it. I'm definitely more of a white fan myself, a Sauvignon Blanc girl, but
yeah,
but
that's one of my favourites.
My mind, I like this one.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Sauvignon Blanc. Sorry, yes, I always get that wrong. Sauvignon Blanc.
It's like Sauvignon Chardonnay.
Yes, I'm just relieved that her name's Lara. You didn't feel tempted. Did you start drinking? I mean, this isn't a slight on your parents at all, but did you start drinking at an early age? Have you always had wine around and in the house?
Well, I remember Mum and Dad have always loved wine, but I've never really been much of a fan until the last year, really. When I first started drinking when I was 18, I promise.
Yeah, well, we believe you.
I was drinking cider mainly. I was a cider girl, but he's changed my mind within the last year. I mean, I quite like it. I'm partial to a glass every now and then.
Excellent. That's good. We've got Mark and Lara in today. Mark Hansen and Lara from Cambridgeshire Wine School. We'll be back in a second to talk about food and wine. A bit of Christina Aguilera first of all, though.
I'm a genie in a bottle, baby. Come on and let me out.
It's 23 minutes before 9, Cambridge 105. Breakfast for Neil and Julie through till 9:30. And that's Christina Aguilera, Genie in a Bottle. Unsigned Chart's going to have to take a bit of a dive today because we've got the bottles open.
I've got lots to say about that. After 9. We'll do it after 9.
We've got time. We'll find room. Right, this minute, though, we've got Mark Anstead from Cambridgeshire Wine School is in with us. And we've just been sampling a very nice red wine, which I think we've got a note of the name.
We've got a second glass.
Now, look, restraint, actually. I did not take the top up that you took.
And it's not a whole glass. It's just a certain
taster.
Amount.
Just a taster.
But I've been doing a lot of food and wine matching events recently, and people really like to know about that. And so I've got one coming up, actually. I've got champagne and sparkling wine with food on the 15th of August. So we're actually taking properly made dishes that the hotel that I'm holding it in will have made, and we're cutting them up and we're taking samples of those, one dish with each of different type of sparkling wine, and we're going to have 6 different dishes and 6 wines. So that's the Thursday, the 15th of August, and there are places left, and you can book that on the website, CambridgeshireWineSchool.com. Then the 18th of September, Wednesday evening, we're doing cake and wine.
Cake and wine.
Perfect mix for most.
I've only ever had tea and cake, so that's a new experience.
And have you heard of Mr. Cake? Mr. Cake is a local cake maker. His business is called Mr. Cake, and he's quite well known locally because he resigned his job at Stansted Airport earlier this year by cake. He basically iced on the cake his resignation letter.
Yeah. Oh, marvellous. So I'm going to make a note of that. Mr.
He's coming
cake.
Along with 6 or 7 different desserts, one of which is his famous resignation cake, and I've matched 6 or 7 different wines. So that's going very well, and that's when 18th of September. And then we've got a big Italian dinner the 28th of September, where we're actually at the City Hotel in their banqueting suite, and they've made a special three-course Italian menu. They've got a resident Italian chef, and I'm matching two different wines to each course. So it's actually an Italian dinner with seven wines.
Okay.
Aperitif, and then two wines per course. And after each course, we'll get people to vote on which one they actually think worked best. But it's a proper sit-down dinner, and so the tickets for that are with a flight of wines, as they call it. So the tickets for that are £60 a person if you book two, and that's on the website. But I've given you this strip of paper.
Yeah, which thanks is for this.
Yeah.
Is no expense spared.
I certainly wasn't expecting this.
Small little strip of paper, which is glad only didn't ask half us to write a our centimetre names on it. Wide, half a centimetre wide, and infused with a bitter chemical. And I get these from Canada.
Right.
And people react to these completely differently. So what I want you to do is put it on your tongue and see whether it's got a horrible bitter flavour and you can't tolerate it and you have to take it out, or whether you don't, you can feel a bitter flavour but it's okay, it's tolerable, or whether actually you don't taste anything
at
all.
So is this across the tongue, a length of the tongue?
Yeah, length of the tongue.
So yeah, you don't need to eat it now.
Just yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, huge immediate reaction, right?
Oh.
Can't tolerate it.
No, it's horrible. Right on the tip of your tongue. Ugh.
I can't taste anything at all.
That is revolting.
It just tastes like paper. What about you?
When I first put it in, I couldn't taste anything at all, but now I can just taste a slight bitterness.
So we are the perfect range. There's three different types of reactions.
That is vile.
Oh, that explains why you don't like some of my cooking.
Yeah. Too bitter.
Really? Says the man who lost a tooth. Right.
Okay, there's three types of people, and we've got them all here.
Oh.
The reaction to the really strong reaction, you're super sensitive to bitterness. It normally means you like milk and sugar in coffee, but you don't, do you?
I like sugaring.
Sugar.
I take sugar, milk and sugar in tea, two sugars, and I take sugar in coffee.
Okay, to dampen down the bitter flavour, right? So you're super sensitive to it. Then we got Julie. Mm. She can sense it, but she can tolerate it.
Yes.
And then you got me. I don't taste anything at all, and neither does Lara. It's a DNA difference. It's a genetic difference.
So it's not curable.
No. And it can be learned a little bit. It can be learned. But it means that the people who are very sensitive, like you, you will notice any clash between the wine and the food.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you one of the typical mistakes that people make, and this is partly about food and wine matching. We've had, for example, our main course, and this is the wine we've had with it. But there's still wine left in the glass, and we're now going to move on to dessert. And what people do is, because this is probably the second wine they've already opened, the second bottle of it, they stay with it.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want to change. So what I'd like you to do is lick your finger, put it in the sugar pile, make sure you get plenty on there, and then put that sugar in your mouth.
Mm.
Make sure you've got a really sugary mouth, and then take another swig of this wine.
This is good, isn't it?
I'm quite happy doing this. That's fine.
You should notice it's gone really sharp.
Yes.
God, you're ruining my day, Mark. I've had a bitter piece of paper, and now the one decent thing I was enjoying has gone all wrong.
Exactly.
Hang on, I just need to clarify that.
People shouldn't continue drinking their dry wine with their pudding. You should always have a sweeter drink than the food you're eating with it.
That explains why we never have desserts when we go out to dinner. We generally tend to have cheese and biscuits after a meal.
To finish up the wine,
basically, it doesn't spoil the wine. We tend not to be pudding people.
Okay. But on the other hand, you buy a wine and it's too sharp. I mean, this one's got some nice sharpness, but let's say you get it home and you feel it's just too tart. What is the answer? It's a complete opposite. It's to introduce acidity into the food.
Okay.
So if you chew on a piece of lemon.
Oh, this is I'm really enjoying this morning show. Thanks for coming in, Mark. Yeah.
It's obviously, we don't like doing that, but.
Oh.
Get that acidity on your mouth, and then.
Are you all right?
No.
You can take it out now.
I'm really not enjoying this program.
But now,
now
sample
can I have
the wine
a drink
again. Now that would have smoothed it out.
Mmm.
In
oh,
fact,
now isn't that perfect?
This is now a lot fruitier than it was to begin with.
Yes.
When you first gave me this to taste, I said straight up the middle of the tongue.
Yeah.
Now straight to the sides.
Yeah. So, if you want to soften a wine, its tartness, its sharpness, you want to bring out the fruit. You want to introduce something acidic into your food. Tomatoes are very acidic, so anything with... That's why Italians wines,
again, yeah.
Because they're very sharp, go very well with acidic foods, pasta. Let's say you're drinking some fish... eating some fish. squeeze some lemon juice on the fish... Or at the very least, you bought yourself a wine, you're not enjoying it, open a packet of salt and vinegar crisps.
Oh, Neil. You don't like salt and vinegar.
I would take the hit, though, because that is an amazing change. I really, really have learnt something this morning. That is extraordinary.
It's been fascinating. That really has. Thank you, Mark. It's been so
anybody comes to food and wine events, and we've got them on the left-hand menu of the website, food and wine events on CambridgeshireWineSchool.com, we will do this. We will explore the way food changes your taste of wine.
And it's so interesting because you get so many of these, and forgive me, I'm going to brand you along with the rest. You get so many people, you should have this with this. But what you're saying is, no, it's all down to what your tongue tastes. And there's three of us in this room and none of us are tasting the same.
Yeah.
So it's working, it's working it through, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. It has been. I've enjoyed it.
Well, I don't know, quantify the word enjoy.
More wine, dear.
Back to sucking on a lemon. Just remind us of those dates again.
So the champagne with food and wine is the first one coming up. And
that was 15th of August.
That's 15th of August.
And how much is that one?
And that, because champagne's a little bit more expensive and we're having samples of proper dishes, that's £40 a person.
Okay.
Then the cake and wine is £35 a person.
I like the sound of that.
I'll go
say when's that?
I've just gone and...
Oh, he's deleted it.
Is that the 18th of September?
No, that was the...
That's the 18th of September.
Oh, it is
Wednesday the
18th. Okay.
And then I've got this Italian dinner with 7 wines...
Wow.
A dinner party, and that's the Saturday, the 28th of September. They're all evening events, and they're all very clearly on the website. You can book and pay online.
Excellent.
Perfect.
Well, thank you for coming in this morning. We've got one last test to do.
Oh, have we?
How does wine go with toast?
Oh!
Right. We'll find out about that. That's Mark Anstead and Lara. Well done.
Yes.
On air for the first time as well.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Lara.
Cambridgeshire Wine School. Just check that website again, Mark.
CambridgeshireWineSchool.com.